Dusty Rhodes, you're going to be meeting the Honky Tonk Man, Your Last Minute Thoughts.
Ooh, let me tell you about my thoughts tonight. I've been so excited since my first date with Sally Gooden. And besides that, the facts are in. The man say, Dusty Rhodes, I am the proprietor of Heartbreak Hotel. I am the man that wears the blue suede shoes. You can't sing. Proved you wrong. You can't dance. We know I can dance circles around you. And now you say, prove to me in public, if you will, come and get it in SummerSlam. Excitement galore. So honky tonk, tonight, just a few moments, you get your opportunity to show the public that Dusty Rhodes can't wrestle. And brother, you can mark this one down tonight. I'm gonna kick your booty.
Hello and welcome to OSW Review Old School Wrestling. Yes, we are back once again for SummerSlam 1998. What? 1998? 1989. Ah, fuck. Alright, once more. This is why I should script the opening, because I have to say stuff.
What a phrase, man.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to OSW Review.
You'd still do it at least twice. OSW Review, the old school wrestling podcast where we chronologically critique the Hulkamania era, where we go to a pay-per-view by pay-per-view, and we are awesome at it. And tonight we are going through SummerSlam 1989. Zeus, he's left God of War and he's come to the main event of SummerSlam.
I just ruined about 10 of my puns now.
Oh shit!
They were all Kratos.
Oh, I've got no Kratos puns in this paper.
Awesome.
There we go. So, excellent, excellent to have you guys back. V1, how's it going?
Not too bad.
And Odyssey?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to it.
All the excitement of the World Wrestling Federation has filled the Meadowlands Arena. It's SummerSlam. The wait, the anticipation is over. Now it's time to feel the heat. Hi, everyone. I'm Tony Schiavone, joined in the broadcast location by Jesse the Body Ventura.
Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you, Schiavone, don't you get out of line with me, because I wrestled. You're the man responsible for Bobby Heenan getting run off the air. So you stay in line with me.
Well, don't you worry about that, Jesse Ventura. But tonight, the big main event, they're all talking about Hulk Hogan, Brutus the Barber Beefcake against the Macho Man and Zeus.
Unbelievable. Zeus, the man of destruction. Can Hogan get to him? I don't think so.
And from there, we also have the Intercontinental matchup and much more. Away we go!
SummerSlam, it's August 28, 1989 in the Meadowlands Arena in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The attendance, 20,000 people, and our Nancy Snyder, the Yachty! Tony Schiavone and Jesse Ventura. Yeah, Tony Schiavone, holy shit, what are you doing on a WWF broadcast? Alright, so we get a video montage of wrestling and various summertime activities to kick us off. So cycling, golfing, eating ice cream...
I didn't get this. There was a kid on a space hopper.
You brought your kids to the park, no?
In this opening montage, there was a kid doing the, you know, the Rick Rude pose. It was a little bit strange.
A little bit hot.
Yeah. Well, there was a woman driving her husband's car. You know, it was like some kind of nice fancy Ferrari.
She was a girl in a car, yeah.
A kid eating a melon. Well, what's going to get me excited about a colour of a wrestling pay-per-view?
And this is why we need editing. Yeah, okay, we got Shavante and Jesse Ventura. So Vince actually signed them, obviously, in 1989.
He'd hang around for the best part of a year backstage, but he only ever called two WWF pay-per-views.
He was supposed to take Monsoon's place, and he was like, thought he could replace him with Monsoon. It didn't work out. Sent him packing a couple of months later.
Okay.
So it's like this and Royal Rumble 1990, and then he's back to WCW at the end.
He's fucking tiny looking next to Jesse. He looks like a small person.
He is a radio sports anchor in Atlanta, Georgia. Pretty much just straight into it. He got a non-tag team title match between the Hart Foundation, so that's Bret and Anvil, versus the No Themes, the Brainbusters, Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson. They were the tag champions. What the fuck happened? They weren't tag champions. Yeah, last time WrestleMania 5, Demolition successfully defended their titles, and then we show up on SummerSlam and the Brainbusters have the belt. Well, yeah, there's a title change off the pay-per-view. On July 29th, the Saturday night's main event, in Worcestershire, Massachusetts, there's a two out of three falls tag match where the Brainbusters beat Demolition. So that's what happened.
Could have showed that. It was a promo package.
No. I had to watch this with Greg, and you know, I was recounting his little, you know, rugged Ronnie Garbage and that stuff.
Not a lot more of him to come.
Oh, yeah. As soon as the Brainbusters came on, it's like, oh, Fudge Fingers and Toadstool.
That's so awesome.
It's like 25 years ago. Oh, yeah. To start off the match, yeah, the Brainbusters, they were denied the tagging out twice. One time Tully was using the bottom rope for an extra reach to tag out Arn Anderson, and the ref waved it off. And the second time Arn tried to tag Tully's foot, and the ref said none of that.
I thought the Brainbusters were absolutely awesome. I know last show we had a little mini argument about Arn selling when he was trying to get to the ropes. There was another spot that was quite like that in this show. Arn was going for Tully's hand to tag in, but just as he did tag in, I think Brett, who pulled his legs, and just how he actually sold him falling and still trying to kind of reach for his hand. I saw it was just those little things that Arn was really awesome at.
Or terrible at.
No, awesome!
I thought both teams were fantastic. Oh, awesome. Yeah. They really gave the Hart Foundation the rub. They got like the majority, they were battering the heels for the majority of this match.
I thought, yeah, absolutely loved this match. Great chemistry between the two teams. This is how to do a tag match.
Amen.
Lots of tags. Heat. Brett does a lovely body slam. Arn behind the back. Arn gets a shoulder cut.
You never see that move anymore. Yeah.
That's a real late 80s, early 90s thing.
Daniel Bryan be doing that for working over for the shoulder lock. Mm.
Absolutely.
There was an amazingly contrived double key lock escape by Brett, and you reverse it into two hip tosses, I guess.
It
traditionally only kept for the big man, but I just got with it. Anvil misses like a super ho train. It was the thing with all the tag matches, like the tag partner would like just whip him in the corner to make it a bit faster. Just everyone did that.
Yeah.
Do we get that today?
Not really, we don't get
tag teams today, sounds hard to say.
There was one gorgeous spot where Tully had Brett in a shoulder lock and Brett bridged out to break out of it. Thought that looked absolutely awesome. Brett just looking better every show. Except his face was Johnny Bland. He had no emotion.
I actually noted that. I just thought maybe he's just a bitter man. Like, it didn't take much for Montreal to turn him into a really bitter guy. Like, you'll see it as we come off, you know, whenever he loses a match, just the expression on his face, it's like, I cannot believe this happened to me.
Imagine how he'd feel a real fighter would feel when he lost an actual fight. It's still real to him, damn it, you know what I mean?
He's an absolute star. I can't believe how long it took to pull the trigger on Brett. Thought it was funny, the classic Brett spot. Some guy's on the ground, he has the two legs and he's going to do the big stomp into the gut. And Tony's like, no, don't do it. But aren't legs stronger than arms? You know, couldn't you just push him away?
Hopefully he was suitably weakened so that wouldn't be the case.
But he was like, no, he looked pretty...
lucid, yeah.
Yes.
Amazing. All right, so the finish of the match is Anvil gets a slingshot shoulder tackle to Tully, then reverse slams Brett onto Tully. Brain distracts the ref. Arn gets a double axe handle in, and Brain gets Tully out as Arn covers Brett. and he like hides his face so he can't see the illegal man's in, and gets the win at 15:55. Just a question here: in any other scenario, other than just kind of reversing and getting a pin, would a double axe handle get you a three count?
Never, no.
Okay.
Good point.
It's like in the difference between a promo segment and a match. It's like if you punch someone in a promo segment, they're out.
Yeah.
They're done. But if it's in a match, it doesn't even flinch them.
Also, in within a match, you know, you have to do the open fists. Well, I know they've changed it all these days, but it's an ODQ match or they're outside. They still do open fists. Why don't they just deck you in the face?
Because they'd actually deck them in the face.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kayfabe. I love
that. That's great, isn't it?
But yeah, this is absolutely brilliant match.
This is the best opening match since like Steamer at like WrestleMania 2 or something. You know, just it was really good. It got me into the match, and it's something that back in the 80s was sorely lacking, that really high-paced opening match to kind of perk up the crowd and get you built up and stuff like that. Excellent job done by all four men. Thumbs up.
Awesome. Anyway, okay, so Mean Gene interviews Dusty Rhodes, baby!
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, I didn't know he was in, and like, oh my god, here he is, amazing Dusty promo.
Pissed myself laughing.
I was actually watching this match with Andrea. She says he sounds black. That's what he's going for, yeah?
He's got a southern
Creole, is it? Yeah, like Louisiana kind of...
New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans kind of thing. Yeah.
It was fantastic. I have to say that since they paired him up with such a strong gimmick in Honky Tonk Man, he could just list off anything to do with, like, Elvis and all that kind of Heartbreak Hotel and just, oh, he can go off into space with it. And he did.
He did, awesome. Didn't he?
can I ask you, Jay, why did they bury Dusty? I mean, you know, he had the polka dot and the whole lot. He could have been a big draw in WWF.
Well, funny you should ask that. It's because Vince didn't particularly want him, but he didn't want NWA to have him. Oh, he was the booker and a three-time world champion in the NWA, and then they were on TV and the execs said, "Don't fucking blade," and I was like, "Get out." And so the WWF got Dusty, and Flair got to feud with Steamboat, so, you know, happy days for everyone. But Vince is like, "All right, so you're fired and coming to me. Get this on you." So yeah, we get straight into it. Dusty Rhodes versus the Honky Tonk Man. I was expecting, since it was Dusty's debut, to do a quick job, actually. But it was the best part of 10 minutes.
Oh, to start, Shavante just marks out for Dusty coming out. That was really funny.
Yeah, they get over the dangerousness of Dusty's elbow, which is great. And
sorry, is it the bionic elbow or is it like the vionic elbow? I've no idea. What the hell?
Is it Vanna White or is it
Vanna White? So,
I think it's bionic.
It's the bionic elbow.
As in a robotic, I guess.
Well, does it not make more sense for him to hit people with the elbow that doesn't have the elbow pad? Unless it's like Chris Hero loaded pad, but that's not his gimmick, right?
No, of course not. Maybe that might be illegal. Does anyone do an elbow that's unsheathed?
I'm sure there's loads of wrestlers that don't wear it.
I think it's that's completely right. It's the opposite of what would make sense. But I imagine it's like, pay attention to this elbow.
Yeah. Why did the boss man not kill Dusty for wearing his stuff? Like, he's wearing a police hat and his nightstick.
What's that got to do with the polka dots?
I don't get it.
I don't know. It's just awesome.
It's just bizarre and strange and awesome. Yeah.
It's just...
Did he even use the nightstick in the match?
No. So, yeah, lots of comedy spots, like at the start, Dusty was strutting, and instead of giving him the big elbow and building up to it, he ruffled Honky's hair instead.
That was great.
The match was shit enough. Dusty was so over. And
he is a master of working the crowd. Maximum pop for minimum effort, like. There was a terrifying zoom on his arse and muffin top. It lasted for ages. And it was not the only one of the night.
So there's a sneaky megaphone shot to the tummy. And that turns the tide and Honky gets a bit of action as well.
There was a long ass sleeper in and a chin lock spot. And then Honky would break out and, you know, you'd be like, oh, thank God. No. Another chin lock. And this probably happened about three or four times. It lasted a solid 2 minutes.
This is two I don't know, I don't want to say sports entertainment, but this is like...
But it's two characters wrestling.
Yeah. Like, the wrestling is the least important thing in this match. It's getting Dusty's and their mannerisms over and their storyline, so... Alright, so the finish is the Honky Tonk Man reverses Rhodes into the ref. Honky calls Jimmy Hart together, and he gets the guitar, and oh my god, he hits the heel instead over the head. And so Dusty gets the elbow drop, and Dusty picks up the win at 9:40. There we go. So
did guitars smash back then? Because this one didn't.
No, it didn't.
This match sucked as a wrestling match, but as a spectacle and crowd reactions and characters and stuff, it was all right overall, but the action was god-awful. Honky cut a pretty cool promo after the match where he was totally out of it and he thought that Jimmy was Priscilla, is it?
Yeah. They were doing the concussion angle thing, which...
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
That's 20 years before its time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah. And back then it was funny.
Alright, so Mean Gene interviews Demolition and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, apparently.
In a gimp mask.
It's really weird because this show, so much shit has happened since WrestleMania and nobody gives you a video montage of what happened, you know? So it's like...
Especially with the tag titles. That one really bugged me. Because we got pretty good recaps for the World and TIC, but nothing for the tag match.
Yeah, and like, how dare they not know that we were going to do these podcasts, you know, in 20, 30 years' time? Like,
no forethought at all. Come on, Vince.
But I've been given out about it plenty of times.
We should probably go through this now. Okay, so Mean Gene interviews Demolition and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, complete with... Okay, his 4x4 is now painted in an American flag, which is awesome. And he himself is wearing a crown, but also his 4x4 is wearing a crown. Yeah. And he has a gimp mask on. You know,
explain that.
What have we, you know, what have we missed?
Clearly we've missed a lot here.
This is a thing that is pretty cool about the 80s. So when you join forces with a team, you have to like don their attire for the night and have a bit of crack.
This promo, by the way, was awesome. It was just another 80s grunty, shouty promo screaming at the camera. 2x4 at a crown. That's a win.
Alright, so...
Massive win.
Alright, so cut to Mr. Perfect, who's in the ring, still no song, What's Going On, versus... versus the Red Rooster.
You should be called like the Robot Rooster, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Robo Rooster.
As the story goes, Miss Perfect gimmick and Red Rooster gimmick were given out on the same day. Alright, Rooster does his kind of jutting jaw rooster peck stuff. And yeah, Perfect Moxon does it as well. Jesse gets on Rooster's case for brawling while Perfect is wrestling. Oh, that's quite smart.
There was a great running off the rope spot by both men to open up. And Perfect hits a lovely drop kick. Other than that, this match clucking sucked.
Alright, so the finish of the match is they brawl on the outside and Perfect brings it back in the ring and just jobs him out with the Perfect Plex at 321. Clean win. That's it. We get a quick place card for the Survivor Series. And then we get a Mean Gene interview with the Intercontinental Champion Rick Rude with Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Okay, standing by now, Gene Okerlund with Ravishing Rick Rude and Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Gentlemen, as you know, the Ultimate Warrior.
Nice.
Fuck it.
Jess, I tell you what, we have some tremendous events still to come, including the Intercontinental matchup right here during SummerSlam.
I don't know what happened to that Gene Okerlund back there, but somebody's chasing him down. I like that. It's about time that bald-headed old man got somebody to interrupt him and cause him trouble. All he does is cause trouble himself.
Okay, well, if he does, he's ready to talk right now.
Gene says that Warrior promised to regain the IC title, and Rude says, oh, he's the ultimate liar. Heenan says, oh, he has a great line. You don't need to wear makeup anymore because after the match you're going to have one black eye and one blue eye.
That was pretty cool.
Alright, first six-man tag is the first of the night. We got The Rockers and Tito Santana versus The Rougeaus and Rick Martel, with two heel managers, Slick and the Colonel, Jimmy Hart. And all I thought was, Steve must be like unbuttoning the top trouser. Yeah, so it was amazing. You get the full Montreal to Memphis song.
Oh, yeah.
And you get Quebec capes and the mullet and mustache, obviously.
It was great.
Did you notice five mullets in this match?
I actually didn't notice that. But
six if you count Jimmy Hart.
Wow.
So it's everyone except Jacques Rougeau has a mullet. It's amazing.
Nice.
Martel is brilliant in this match.
He's huge. No memory of this man being this large.
He's done a complete heel turn at this point. I mean, it's been long enough since WrestleMania.
Mm.
But I think he's great. You know, the real cocky, smarmy, kind of sneaky heel. Does a great job. I like the fact that he's trying to stay away from Tito, the majority of the match, just getting in the odd few cheap shots here and there. But, Jay, what has happened between WrestleMania 5 and SummerSlam?
With regards to?
To the Strikeforce breakup, your favourite angle, the tag team breakup.
There's been so many memorable tag team breakups. Nothing. Tito gets battered for the majority of the match, and when Tito splashes Jacques, Ventura quips that he almost pulled one out of his Mexican hat.
You know, I'm all for heel managers, but there's two heel managers for one team, right? Martel could get himself over. He doesn't need Slick to get him over.
Slick's the worst of all the managers.
Yeah, he's useless. Yeah. And then the Rougeaus don't need a manager either. You know, I mean, heel managers are sorely lacking in this day and age, but there's really no need for every single heel wrestler to have a manager.
I totally agree with that. On this show, it kind of reached, you know, my fill of managers.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, when you've got two or three out there in the one match, it does get too much.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's a bit of a payday thing. And also, if nobody wants the job, so he makes sure that manager gets in there and screw finish and he can show his arse.
I think that's probably more of it than anything else, because nobody liked to lose back in the day.
Mm. So the finish of the match is Sean gets the hot tag and cleans house. The crowd go fucking mental for this, and it descends into a schmoz, and in the confusion, Martel pins Jannetty at 14:57. So this, I defend his finish, it's very similar. Heels pull one out of the bag, despite the rest of the match, like the Brainbusters did.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought this match was very good. It just, you know, it wasn't as good as the Hearts against Aaron and Tully, but I felt that the Rockers didn't do enough. They were kind of on the sidelines, and I totally get it, because you want to build up Rick Martel against Tito. It would have been better just to have those two have a singles match, considering this is your big show of the summer.
Hmm. It's weird. This is like, he's turned heel, but he's not the model. So it's a very odd time for Martel. So we get a recap of the Warrior... Okay, so we get a recap of the Warrior Rude feud. It's difficult.
It is.
Warrior Rude.
We got a recap of the Warrior Rude feud. The pose down at the Rumble. Rude cheating to win the IC belt at Mania. The sneak attack on Primetime Wrestling. Warrior returns the favour at Superstars of Wrestling.
Rick Rude was going to kiss the woman, and you just see Warrior running in. Loved it.
Should have kissed him. And also bring in Andre, who's also in Heenan's camp, doing his kind of choke, double Ionian nerve grip stand spot. And then we get an amazing Warrior promo, and his face is the same color as his purple face paint.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you have just seen that amazing...
The conditions that I have already continued to worsen as I have broken loose from all the straight tickets and all the rubber rooms across these weak planets. And you, Andre the Giant, will realize that the power will become the eighth wonder of the world as we eat you alive. But you, ravishing recruit, as I promised, you will surrender to the gods above as I beat you. 1, 2, 3.
Let's go back to the arena.
It I don't even know what to say. I heard the words God and power.
Yep, pretty much.
I think that was all. That's all I could understand from this promo. But much like Dusty's,
it works.
It was amazing.
But he doesn't have to say anything. Exactly. He just has to shout rubbish
and shake and
and it works.
Go a bit mental.
I flipped out watching this.
It was great,
so
wasn't
amazing.
It?
Yeah. All right, so it's the Intercontinental Champion Rick Rude with Bobby the Brain Heenan versus the Ultimate Warrior, and you know Rick Rude. He's got his SummerSlam jocks on. The Warrior face is on the front and Feel the Heat on the back.
Very nice.
Which is the tagline to this year's SummerSlam.
Rude's disrobing shtick is fucking great. Especially when he called the fans, you SummerSlam sweat hogs. That's good stuff.
By the way, this is, you know, I've noticed it for the whole pay-per-view, but the crowd are fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, they're hot for this.
And, pardon the pun.
You can feel the heat.
And, yeah, I mean, compared to WrestleMania 5, they were just so dead. It's such a breath of fresh air.
So, this is all Warrior. Rude has his working boots on. Holy shit. At the start of the match, you know, they schmoz to the outside, hits Rude with the title belt, and Ventura flips out saying, this should be a DQ. And he goes off onto Schiavone, who actually says, oh, it's outside the ring, excuse
me. He tore apart, for, and rightfully so. Schiavone sounded like a fucking Muppet, like.
Did Warrior just fuck this up?
Reckon so, yeah. I reckon he just kind of lost his plot and...
got too excited.
Yeah. I actually felt that this match had that kind of big match feel about it. The kind of Hogan-Andre, Macho Man Savage, you know, obviously not that big because it's not main event, but I was watching this and obviously it's like 23 years later and I was really pumped up for this match. And I had memories of that god-awful Mania match in my head as well because that was stanking, like...
The build-up has been great.
Yeah.
It's like the this year Daniel Bryan-Sheamus feud. You know, that's been built up for a year.
Yeah.
You know, and phenomenally for the year. I mean, the two of them have just been across the ring, you know, psyching each other out, cutting promos on each other.
oh, my God. Third ref bump in four matches. The Warrior no-sells Rude's offense and, like, finishes him with a power slam. And, my God, Rude was... out of his mind, but he let Warrior do a pile driver. Rude survives with a foot on the rope, and he eventually turns the tide with blocking a splash. Now, there is a terrifying, like, pile driver turn tombstone.
Oh. This is going to into Rude does it on Warrior.
No,
it's the power bomb.
No. It's Rude does it to Warrior.
Yeah, power bomb slash pile driver.
Yeah, he was going to bang him up for a pile driver, but then he like overarches and then ends up kneeling.
Yeah, it was like the kind of reverse tombstone thing.
Yeah,
that was scary. Man.
And
that
in fairness to Warrior, you know, tucks his head in. Yeah, and he's all right, but could have been nasty. A lot of pile drivers in this match from both.
Yeah,
that's the go-to move. Like, I didn't like that at the start of the match they went outside the ring twice. It's, you know, talking about taking shortcuts, it was like fucking Taker and Triple H last year at Mania. Straight outside the ring.
You
know, I really, 9 times out of 10 it's terrible. On occasion it really works, but no, it's a shortcut that didn't need to be taken. Schiavone starts to really annoy me, I know you've already mentioned him, but like, do you notice the way his go-to phrase, if there's a move, pile driver! Clothesline! Yeti!
Did you guys see Rude's fist drop from the top rope?
What was that?
What was that?
Are you supposed to, like, put your boot up and hit me in the face?
Yeah. Is this Warrior just having a rest, was he?
No, this is a legit spot. He's done the jumping punchy on the ground before. It's a move that's done more than once.
But it looks like he was bracing himself to take a back bump that never came.
And he just kind of places his hand on him and rolls away.
Yeah.
So the storyline of this, quite a long, actually, finishing spot. Like, thing is that Rude can't finish the Warrior. And then Piper makes his way to the ring. Rude eventually sees him and starts gyrating at him. And Piper returns in kind and shows him his arse.
And when Warrior hits the German off the second rope, the second angle shows that Rude lands on his face. I reckon Warrior was backstage like, oh, my fucking y'all, kill me.
He'd just be... So, my God, Rude bumping like a boss.
Yeah, he definitely was.
He made Warrior look like $1 million. So Warrior gets the win at 16 minutes.
There shouldn't have been any interference. I know they're trying to get on a feud with Piper and Rude, but Warrior should have won this match clean.
Is there any particular reason that Piper came out? Because, you know, obviously there was nothing mentioned in the pre-packaged...
I'll see you at the SummerSlam.
Wait, shit, the Survivor's here.
That's it, really. It's like, so, not really fighting fit, but, you know, let's...
So, basically, they were setting up a feud as opposed to... Okay, yeah, that's fine.
But when Piper flashes his arse...
Yeah.
Rude gets so annoyed, he jumps on the second row.
On the second row, yeah.
It's like, is he trying to get closer to or further away? Why do wrestlers do that when they're really annoyed? Oh, I'm going to jump up higher and give it to you.
You might think I'm slightly taller.
This wrestling's amazing, and that's why, Steve.
The shoulder! Roddy Piper caused this whole thing. Rude had this match won.
I don't know if he had it won or not. He certainly had the advantage, and now the advantage is all Ultimate Warriors.
This is horrible. This is an atrocity. I can't believe Morella would allow Piper to come out here and distract the champion.
High over his head. Drops him down! The Warriors! Rolls him over! Yes! Let's get the official word!
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of this fight has the new Intercontinental Champion, the Ultimate Warrior!
An absolute incredible match!
Yeah, Warrior, he was protected really well in this. Like, he didn't look like he was ever going to lose this match, despite everything Rude threw at him.
It was like, as a match in itself, it was nothing special. But then, when you compare it to Mania 5, Warrior against Rude, it was like two new people wrestling. It was just like a different match. So, thumbs up to Rude. Yeah, overall, decent match.
Yeah, I thought it was decent. Preferred the segment from the Rumble. It's great to see the IC belt actually mean something. It really does. It's just a notch below the world title, which is great. And I love Warrior swinging the belt around. Always good. Nowadays, I would think, okay, Rude's dropped the IC title. He's going to be pushed now onto main event. Obviously, that never happened. But I think Rude would have to kind of shake up his gimmick a little bit to be a main eventer, especially his entrance theme. It's not a main event entrance theme.
It's quite mid-cardy comedy a bit.
Yeah. I'd agree with that, definitely.
All right, so we get a perfect interview with Mean Gene, says the word perfect 20 times, gets over beating the Rooster.
The irony is that it was only okay.
And this is, I hope you mentioned it, Steve. So we finished the perfect interview. There's no editing, straight into a Hot Rod promo where whatever he talks about, perfect.
I thought it was shite.
Kayfabe me on this one, but how does this promo segment work that... Is there a line of wrestlers and it's like one in, one out, you know? Cause
take it.
Because it's like heels and faces, or did they just come along at the opportune time when one guy's leaving, some guy happens to be passing, or?
If you want to kayfabe it, in like real sports, they just have, you know, the kind of sponsor backgrounds. Someone is there with a mic, and when an athlete walked past, they tried to grab them and talk to them.
Which is fine, because they don't hate each other. A lot of these people don't
want to
be in the same room.
There was less than 5 seconds between
it was
people coming and going.
Yeah, it was like, man, maybe this stuff is fake, you know what I mean?
That's dangerous, isn't it? Fucking love wrestling.
I thought it was great. He says, what do Scotsmen wear under their kilts? And he says, a pair of shoes.
Pretty sure they're on your feet.
Yeah, they're uncomfortable hitting off your balls. Like.
Maybe they're like baby shoes or something.
Keeps his balls one in each.
Should have just got some egg cups.
I used to know this girl. She had abnormally large nostrils, and she used to love giving blowjobs to blokes. And your balls sat in her nose perfectly when you were. So we used to call her egg cups.
like 69er position.
Yeah. Big, twisty balls. Egg cups. Sorry, I just came flooding back to me there. I'm telling that poor girl in about 10 years.
And I thought it was because she had small tits.
And then of course Steve's boy comes out.
Yes.
Oh, I love this. Your boy. Rubbish Ronnie Garbage was awesome here.
So what did he say?
Yeah, come on, Steve.
Right? He comes out and says nothing, looks terrified, and then Bobby Heenan comes out.
Muscles him out of the way. Bobby Heenan, the weasel. And he just kind of, oh shit, sorry.
I have to say, at this point, I was absolutely behind Greg and his thoughts.
Steve, you can't do that, man.
It'll change later.
You're such a Garvin booster.
It'll change later, though.
Classy bloke, obviously.
Honey, Garvin, dressed to the nines this evening for SummerSlam. What's the tuxedo all about?
Well, I've got a special assignment tonight.
Wait a minute. You're not going to be a broadcaster. You're not out looking for my job, are you?
No. Don't worry, Mean Gene.
Well, I'll tell you, what is the... Can I take a look in the inside?
Just a minute. You have fun with these guys.
Oh, wait a second.
I don't want to talk to... I don't want you to interview anybody but me right now.
He's straight in, and Rude comes in, and they just give out about losing the belt. Oddly, it's not time for the main event, but we do get the main event build-up. We get a bit of, here's No Holds Barred, here's the Saturday night's main event build-up, there's Zeus. I have to mention that, yeah, the movie... No Holds Barred, starring Tiny Lester, Zeus here, and Hogan, was released in June 1989, so obviously before SummerSlam, to lead up to SummerSlam. So you go see it in theatres, then go watch SummerSlam. But they did have the SummerSlam match with Savage, and then Zeus hangs around DiBiase at the Survivor Series, and then when they're ready for the network debut of No Holds Barred on TV in December... They bring back Zeus and Savage, the tag team.
Okay.
So, No Holds Barred, the match, the movie, which is the name of this event, this pay-per-view event, where they have the movie and then they have a tag team match in a cage. And that's in December 89.
So there was a build-up between Hogan and Zeus, obviously for a number of months beforehand. So my question is, why would anyone want to go and see Hogan and Zeus fight in a fake movie... Whereas they're building these guys up to fight in a real match. So, in that respect, you either go and pay your $10 to see the movie.
The WWF tried to portray the film as like a shoot, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Oh, was that how they did
it? Yeah. It is an odd one because, you know, the way wrestling's fake and action movies are 100% real? You know? So.
In Rand McNally.
So it is weird having a fucking phony action star in with real wrestlers. I have no idea what's going on.
Did you see
the kayfabe required to go along with
this? Just kind of get to wrap your head around this, don't you? What did they just think of Zeus's face right to the camera? Zeus doing the Cena face, man. Priceless.
But he's got the eyes, priceless. Man. It's great.
He is a Johnny Gunner eye, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a pretty bad esotropia on his right eye. Mm. It's just like, Jesus Christ, mate, get some glasses.
What would he see? Do you know the way?
He'd see in, like, dog vision.
He'd just see a lot of people in, like, white hoodies and burning, like, crosses.
I'm asking a medical opinion from two doctors.
Peripheral vision for the outside would be totally fucked. So if like he was a boxer or something and someone is throwing a left hook, he wouldn't see it.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
But in terms of looking straight ahead, it's fine.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
It's just his like kind of extraocular muscles are kind of getting fucked and they have to lean on the ones that are working a bit more. And so it gets progressively worse. And
it can be fixed when you're a child. You slap a patch on for 6 weeks and it fixes itself.
Oh, really?
It's just really bad parenting.
Yeah. This guy is just a fucking monster.
He's huge.
Yeah.
My goodness. Was this guy like a NFL player or anything beforehand? Because I don't know who he is. Oh, other than Zeus. Zeus.
Oh, what is with me?
Dusty Rhodes.
He was Debo in 1995's Friday with was it Ice Cube and
I've never seen that movie.
Scooby Scooby Dog Dog and the rest.
He's been in a few movies.
And he was the prisoner on the boat in
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Yeah. He was like, give it to me. I say, I'll talk it off.
Was that him?
That's Debo. Yeah. Yeah. So Savage is on the Brother Love show and he brings out Zeus with Sensational Sherry. What's going on here, lads?
I got me a manager. There it is. unbelievably sensational.
You mean?
Oh, yeah. Sensational, Jerry.
Brilliant, McMahon. What a brilliant maneuver by Randy Macho Man Savage. Here I thought he'd name maybe Bobby the Brain Heenan. Maybe the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. But instead, sensational Sherry. Terrific.
Miss Elizabeth, there is some concern as to whether or not you will continue to stand by the side of the World Wrestling Federation champion, Hulk Hogan. There is even some concern as to whether or not you will continue to be his manager. Will you please respond to these allegations?
As long as Hulk Hogan needs me, I'll be there.
Whoa! Yeah, well, Hogan didn't fire those earrings, just a clock.
What has happened in the last 3 months? It's fucking a year's worth of storyline.
They do an enormous promo package. Could they not have shown how...
Clearly I was right last month and Liz shouldn't have backed him. Oh yeah, that felt good after your Daniel Bryan slag in there. Oh, one on one thing.
Actually, alright, let us get away from this program package and we'll save the rest for the main event, which is still many bad matches. Alright, so we got a 6-man tag, another one. It's Slick's Twin Towers and Andre the Giant at a combined weight of 1,334 pounds or an average of 445 pounds each.
I'm not buying it.
No? Want to see? 445 on average?
I reckon that's not that far off, real. I reckon Andre at this point is between 550 and 600.
Do you think so?
No.
That's like Yokozuna kind of weight.
No, he's Yokozuna was like 800 pounds.
Andre wouldn't be...
Imagine going to the toilet after him.
Imagine being the toilet.
Oh!
Holy...
What's this?
Why would anyone be a toilet?
Go to Japan.
And this is why we're a video or an audio podcast.
Did you see there was someone in the crowd had a demolition will topple the Twin Towers sign?
Yes.
And then they got the Twin Towers toppling. That's bad stuff.
That's fucking
should have had
Nostradamus shit there. A kid could have been very rich.
A kid with what do they wear? A tea towel on his head. A young Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, we all know it was Hulk Hogan that toppled the Twin Towers. Alright, versus Demolition and King Jim Duggan.
You never mentioned how he became king.
That's because they didn't mention it. Yeah, Duggan beat Haku in a house show in May in Davenport, Iowa, and he won the title of the king. So it's like, it's kind of like a title, but you win a gimmick.
Yeah.
You know?
As a bitch, you have to dress up in a stupid costume. It's not worth it at all, is it?
It depends who it is, I guess. Like, it didn't work for Haku, but, you know. It
didn't work for Harley Race.
No. Actually, generally doesn't work. It worked for Macho Man, though.
That's Macho true. And Owen Hart are pretty much two of the only ones who really did anything.
Billy Gunn as well.
Billy Gunn was great, yeah.
Mabel.
King Mabel, yeah. Oh, King Sheamus, remember his amazing run?
Oh, yeah.
The fucking anti-streak, like.
Fuck.
King Jim Duggan here takes off his gimp mask to reveal he's painted a USA flag on his face.
I kind of marked out to that a little bit. I thought it was cool.
Had a really red mouth. It was like he was bloodied or something, you know? It's a really, really red mouth.
Maybe it was just paint.
Could have been gargling the paint, I guess.
Could have been paint from the gimp ball.
Or it was the gimp ball.
All right. Bit of backstage, Scott. Vince said that after Andre Stinker at WrestleMania there with Jake, do you remember that match? No more singles matches for Andre.
Thank God. Yeah.
So he'll just be in like tag teams and like coming to the rings with heels until he wins down his career.
It's such a shame that we never got to see Andre in his prime.
He just does a fucking punch, kick, the lean, and the choke.
This is where we get a horrible zoomy shot of arse number two. It zooms in on Andre's big saggy hole for about 20 seconds. No one wanted that.
Is this? He has a kind of hiked up his ass
yes.
crack as well.
And you can see the yeah. cheeks kind of.
Yeah. He's got the old hungry
muffin bottoming.
You love the hungry bum, don't you?
I have no fucking choice on this show. Like.
Yeah, I don't know. The pay per view, it really slumps here. You know, just Jesus, like, because the first half of the pay per view is pretty great, and then it's just a bit downhill from here.
This match had the same finish as two matches earlier on in the show. Heels are going to win. Bam, face hits him with something, gets the pin.
Mm.
All of the tag matches that had the same ending.
Yeah,
so I'd imagine there probably is one agent booking all the tag matches.
I guess so.
D-Lo.
D-Lo. yeah, Akeem gets his a lovely Air Africa on Smash. But Duggan gets his USA 2x4 and cheats. And Smash gets the 3 at 7:24.
A shitty brawl match. The usual kind of thing you'd expect. It's a typical clusterfuck ending.
Yeah.
But the crowd were into it.
Yeah. A lot of strong characters in the match still. But yeah, the match sucked. I'd have this the worst match in the card up to this point.
Yeah, yeah. So the Twin Towers, they'll split in early 1990. And well, my gang, he'll be gone by the end of that year. And so there's a Thanksgiving promo card no one cares about. And then Million Dollar Man cuts a promo about Snuka.
Yeah, just a good promo like you'd think that he'd do.
He's going downhill now, though, at this point, isn't he? Like, I mean, WrestleMania,
he's never going to reach his heights again.
WrestleMania 4, then even the Rumble, you know, he was up there, you know, the big star at the end. Since then, hasn't really done anything.
God, I actually have that exact point down. Mm. Like, he's the main event at every pay-per-view since WrestleMania 4. And look at you now. Mm. Fucking coming back and having to sell for Jimmy Snuka.
That was like the Bundy after Hogan slaughtered him. And the Towers after Hogan slaughtered him.
Jeez,
it's
yeah.
like, once Hogan is done with you, he's kind of done with you, isn't he? Like?
Once he's had his way with you.
Once he's had his way. Right.
So we get...
My boy! Rubbish Ronnie Garbage comes out dressed up in his tux, and he is announced as a nice little surprise, and he is the special guest ring announcer, and I'm going to say I thought he did an alright
job. Well, you
here.
Would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I fucking would.
I know it's mentioned, I think Ventura says, who made him ring announcer? But, I mean, this guy is clearly feuding with Valentine.
Yeah.
So why would you get him to go out and announce the guy? He's obviously going to
awesome.
Bury him, like.
Yeah, we...
You let him, you let that happen.
President Jack Tunney clearly let
him. It's so-called opponent.
So-called opponent?
Well, that's an opinion.
A little pipsqueak, poor excuse of a manager. A big mouth of the South.
Big mouth
Jimmy
of the South.
Hart. He claims he weighs 249 pounds. To me, he looks like he's overweight by 30 pounds.
How dare him do that as an announcer?
You're fucking absolutely right. After Valentine lost the match to Garvin, he challenged him to a career versus career match, and Valentine won it. And so Garvin's kind of kayfabe retired, but he's still wrestling on the show circuit. And he'd do, like, oh, I'm the ref, or I'm the announcer, or I'm whatever shit. What he'd do is he'd have just altercations with whoever the heel is, and he'd end up getting into fisticuffs with them, and then Funny Jack Tunney goes away and say, oh, you're fired as an announcer, and rehired as a...
I love it!
Valentine got annoyed enough to say, I want him back so I can fight him. But, you know, you gotta wait for that big payoff. I'm not going to tell you when, because you won't watch the pay-per-view.
I have to say that I thought that his burial of Valentine was... It was alright, but, you know, it's better than no build. You know what I mean?
Try a couple of his quips there, would you?
He was like, yeah, I'm coming down to the ring, the rubbish Valentine, to stay your hair, mate.
Oh, Greg Valentine. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going.
What does that mean?
He's stupid. And you're coming at the ring with big mouth of the set. How old are you? WrestleMania 8, Ray Combs, a guy from Family Feud, he actually did the same shtick. He was the special announcer, and he'd heckle the Mountie, and he'd be like, aha, okay, so here's the Mountie. And the survey said he does the work of three men. Curly, Larry, and the survey said,
fuck off. Hold on. At least it's not Morton of Borton.
Dermy. Hold on, Dermy had a couple of good ones.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Go on.
Really?
I can't remember.
Yeah, fuck me. This was a plodding match, but thankfully it was short. So only a couple of kick punch matches until Valentine uses the WrestleMania 2 finish as he uses the ropes as leverage and gets the illegal
throw. Out of nowhere, like, he was the one getting battered, and then he just, like, a double leg and boop, and he pins him.
Yeah, and no reaction whatsoever from the crowd.
No, I have to say, shite.
That's because Rodney wasn't wrestling in the match.
So Garbage announces Hercules won, and then Valentine shows him out of the ring. Oh my god. Okay, I know they did it because, like, towards the late 80s and early 90s, whenever they replayed Hogan's reaction, they'd add in more cheers because he was starting to get booed because they're sick of your shit. Mm. You're champion for 6 years. When Rubbish Garbage took off his jacket, that crowd, like, fucking Hogan popped for him.
In the ring, the hammer Hercules continuing. Even after Valentine won the bout.
Look at Garner.
Here's the king. It's fucking SmackDown with just Siegel crowd cheers.
Tall, a little over 400 pounds, will be inside the
brothers in law.
What if you believe him?
He's gonna weigh in on the challenge. We'll enter last in the war.
What do you want to go in there?
Speed. Daniel Bryan, understand, he is beyond his depth.
Maybe just Ronnie had this unbreakable bond with the crowd and they were totally into everything he did.
Oh, God. Well, they will be on opposing teams at the next pay-per-view.
Oh, thank God.
Are they captains?
No.
They should be.
Oh, my God. You're under Rubbish Garbage.
Hogan, Ronnie Garvin. Hogan, Ronnie Garvin.
The hammer. With his front bump.
Alright, so we get this is definitely in the 80s.
This is like, I thought it was like Power Rangers or something, wasn't it? It was like, yeah. Rita and was it Lord Zedd around the fucking cauldron? It was awesome. I thought it was great.
Needs more Eye of Newt.
And the world is in this cauldron.
Oh, Mean Gene Okerlund, this is the cauldron of madness that we have spoke of oh so fondly in the past months. What will help us destroy Hulk Hogan, Brutus Beefcake? Ah! Oh, I look in there, what do I see? I see Hulk Hogan laying flat on his back. And another thing, what do I see? Brutus Beefcake! He's gone, he's finished! And then, hopefully we can see what's going to happen with Miss Elizabeth if she's... Here, where is she? Where is she?
What's cooking, Macho Man?
Where is she?
Unbelievable. I see the same things that Sensational Sherry sees, only I see them a little smaller, yeah. Like an itsy bitsy pieces, if you know what I mean. I see the weak link, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Oh, yeah, on the bottom of the cauldron of madness, yeah. And I also see Hulk Hogan, yeah, on the bottom of the cauldron of the madness, and it's because of the human race. Wrecking machine, no! Impervious to pain, and I told you, Hulk Hogan, that this was the end of the road, and I am looking at the end of the road, and also I see Sensational Sherry, you with Miss Elizabeth. Yeah, the possibility is unbelievable.
Thank you very much. I'm a little miffed by it all. Let's get back up to the ring.
An amazing Witch's Cauldron promo with Sensational Sherry, Macho Man Randy Savage, and Zeus. What's going on? What is this?
It's such a shame you could never do this in this day and age. You'd never
go Randy Orton. Fucking stirring the pot, like, literally.
Sherry is definitely getting better at this point.
God, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're getting there. She's given up being a wrestler. Let's focus on being a manager. It's starting to work.
Post WrestleMania 5 on the Brother Love Show, Macho Man fired Liz, and in the same segment, he replaced her with Sensational Sherry. And Liz is kind of stuck with Hogan there. So would have been nice if you mentioned this, but on the video, I'll show you. It'll make sense. That our review will make sense.
Thank you, Jim.
So we get the self-proclaimed million-dollar champion versus Jimmy Snuka. So despite being at WrestleMania 1, Jim Murray came out with Hogan and that. This is Superfly's first WWF pay-per-view match.
That's right, yeah. And then he was at last Mania when he came out for like 2 seconds during a match and fucked up backstage. He must have left his bag of coke in his locker or something, you know?
He is fucking jacked.
He is monstrous, and he's old looking at this point. Jesus Christ, I still love his song.
He actually arrived in the WWF initially in 1981, so he went 8 years before the first pay-per-view.
Wow.
He had that famous splash off the cage at Madison Square Garden.
What year was that?
It was in October 83 against Don Morocco.
Holy shit, I wasn't even born yet.
Jeez, and did he get a push after that? Because that's one of the most iconic moments of WWF history. You know, you'd expect him to get a huge push after that. What happened?
No, he didn't. That was actually for the IC title. He never held a belt in the WWF. There's a good reason why. I'll tell you in about 20 seconds.
Tell us now, Jay. I want to know.
He left for the AWA in 1985, and then he returned here to WWF TV earlier in 1989. He never held a belt in the WWF because he is alleged to have... He's a coke fiend, and he killed his girlfriend.
I was right. Oh, God.
Yeah. And that's
Are you serious?
Alleged.
Sorry, say that again, because this needs a bit of gravitas.
Okay. So he would take loads of coke, and he'd bring girls on tour with him, and there were rumours he didn't get a push or a title because he killed his girlfriend. She was like a dentistry student. When she was going on the road, and ex-girlfriends of Jimmy Snuka would ring her up and tell him, like, he's a violent guy, fucking watch out, and... I actually had a look at this. What happened is the girl hit her head off something. Snuka said it was on the side of a road, which we can't find any blood for. He's like, oh, I have no idea what happened. And Vince would do all the talking, and he'd be the kind of, I'm the idiot savage, what are you doing? I'm the gentle giant kind of thing. And everyone else was going, this is such bullshit. And there wasn't much inquiry into it at all. And the attorney... Richard Cushing cited that once Vince McMahon remarked, look, I'm in the garbage business. If you think I'm going to be hurt by the revelation that one of my wrestlers is really a violent individual, you're mistaken. So,
that's bad stuff.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I've kind of completely changed my mind about Snuka.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I'd never heard anything like that before. That's terrifying, Jesus Christ. You know, that like someone you kind of idolised as a child would do that, you know? Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, the case is actually still open. It was never ruled as an accident or homicide or whatever. It was just, it kind of, time ran out of it.
Get your one from Cold Case on it, like. I had to lighten it up somehow. Yeah. That was
pretty funny. I was going to say, Mick Foley can put that in his next stand-up show. Sorry. Now would be a good time to tell the story about when I met Virgil.
You met Virgil?
Yes, I did. I told you this.
But tell them that.
All right. So anyway. when I was at a wrestling convention in, where was it? California. It was great because Christian was there. He was a lovely guy.
He did.
Yeah.
Did Andrea diss Christian? She was like, get a picture with Andrea.
Oh yeah, he was going to... What did he say? Do you want a picture? And she said, oh, no, it's fine, or something like that. She probably thought she had to pay for it, even though she didn't.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it's all right. And then I said something to her that I lightened the mood immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it was like...
I'd imagine wrestlers are used to blokes carrying their reluctant girlfriends along.
You weed from Elizabeth!
But, and Slick was there, and Harley Race. Didn't go near them. Well, then, yeah.
Racist.
So.
Brilliant.
So anyway, we were just on the way walking out. So on kind of on his own out in the middle of nowhere was Virgil, and he was supposed to be there at the Million Dollar Man, but the Million Dollar Man didn't show up.
Was there a sign that said
Million Dollar Man and Virgil?
Oh god.
You know, and he was sitting there on his own, and I was like, I was walking by, and then I kind of tried to avoid making eye contact with him. And then Andrew's like, hey, look, he's looking over at you. And I just turned, and then bang, eye contact. So I kind of had to go over. Blah, 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 hey, man. And I was trying to be a little bit clever. I was like, oh, you're a maths teacher now, yeah? And he's like, well, Madison Square Garden, yeah, yeah. He was just trying to sell me shit. So I'm an idiot. Like, I gave him $10 and he signed a fucking
Polaroid.
And we got a picture taken. Yeah, I felt sorry for him, man. Really embarrassing. But that's. And
he moves really badly now, right? Wasn't he on like Raw or TNA like in the past year?
Yeah, he was DiBiase's butler.
That's right,
Junior.
For someone who didn't wrestle for most of his career, those few bumps he must have taken must have really fucked up his hips or something.
I have to say, yeah, I'll blame Big John Studd for that. I have to mention that the Virgil, apparently that's his gimmick. Like, he's like, I've got this massive marquee that says Ted DiBiase and Virgil, and Ted DiBiase isn't gonna be there. He's never going to be there. He's never booked. But you might see Ted DiBiase and go, oh, where's Ted DiBiase? And, then he's like, oh, come in, let me show you this.
And before you know it, you're giving him $10.
Yeah, yeah. What apparently, he works the pathetic thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how much work it is.
He wasn't getting a lot of action, but...
Yeah. The Brig Butler, right?
The Brigler.
Stealing hamburgers. DiBiase, fucking hell, last year, main eventing every pay-per-view since WrestleMania last year, and now he's in a mid-card throwaway match with Snuka.
This is even worse than mid-card J. This is the fucking toilet break before the main event.
God,
this is this is like the Divas match. Like.
Poor DiBiase.
Yeah.
Jeez. Actually, this match should have been DiBiase versus Roberts, but you know, Jake Roberts wasn't on the card. Needed to be written off TV for 4 months because...
Rehab?
Not injury, not rehab. Apparently battered a fan in December 88 and he got arrested, and so he needed time off to deal with his legal troubles, so he'll be back.
But he was grand to have on the Mania card and Rumble.
He got snared in May, and so he's out for 4 months dealing with that, and we'll see at the series.
Okay.
Alright, so let's fuck this match.
The best part of this match was about 40 seconds in when Superfly Snuka tried to do like a double leapfrog spot when he ran the ropes, and he mistimed it and landed right on Teddy's head. And
He cooked him, did he?
Good girl. Shavonte tries to cover up and Jesse's just like, what are you talking about? He messed up. Brilliant.
Yeah, so the finish of this awful excuse for a match is Snuka goes up for the splash, Virgil goads him into chasing him, so he does, and Million Dollar Man catches him and gets the count out win at 6:24, and then Snuka gets his heat back by splashing Virgil post-match.
And the splash was fantastic on
Yeah,
on
it looked
Virgil.
Great. I've been down here, the match fucking shit, the post-match was really good.
It's interesting seeing Virgil on the same pay-per-view as Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, yes, very good, very good.
I don't get
Virgil Reynolds is Dusty Rhodes' name, and Virgil was named after Dusty Rhodes.
I didn't know that.
It was Million Dollar Man going, fuck that. They actually went to St. College as well, so they're best mates, but he thought...
Million Dollar College, wasn't
it? Bovine University.
Million Dollar Man thought it would be married.
Boston! I think Muttley Leffler.
Million Dollar Man thought it'd be hilarious to name his servant after his mate Dusty Rhodes.
Okay.
Like, obviously, Virgil's his whole life has been a fucking joke. Like, he moved to WCW and was renamed
Vincent.
Yeah. And then they renamed him Shane.
And Stephanie.
And fucking creative control.
There was, what's this guy's name, Mooney?
Sean Mooney?
Yeah, Sean Mooney in the crowd.
The crowd.
Getting pushed around. He looked really uncomfortable, actually.
They always have him doing that shit, don't they?
It's terrible, like.
No, I'm wrong. He did suck, and they probably want him to quit or something, but...
Right. It was like Adam Lee. They used to put initially they put him in the crowd.
Adam Lally, that's right, yeah.
Adam Lally.
Just Harvey.
And then we got the Hulk and Brutus interview. And then Hogan saying, "Since we hopped up, brother, we've been hanging and banging. I bet you have."
So says Linda Hogan, yeah.
But the promo was fucking great.
Hogan was, "Zeus brother's gonna look into Beaver's eyes," and then Beaver kind of just a crazy eye in the corner. What the fuck was that, Brutus? Jesus Christ.
Shimon, you and me have trouble understanding.
From the Meadowlands arena to the multitudes beyond, I, the genius full of glory and renown, share my wondrous words of wisdom with this SummerSlam spectacular to validate my mortarboard and gown.
Yeah, validate.
Brutus Beefcake and Hulk Hogan shall be running for their lives. The highest card they're holding is a deuce. They are totally unqualified to match the royal flush that shall be coming from the Macho Man and Zeus. Scary Sherry is the term that Brutus Beefcake used in slander, and he had the nerve to call her overdressed. That's when the barber got a trim that wasn't on the schedule, because Sherry is a cut above the rest. On the other hand, Elizabeth is absolutely useless. She is less than just another pretty face.
Now wait a minute.
When you add the unknown factor of the human wrecking machine, tonight, the Hulk shall be in second place.
Okay, so we've got the genius, full of glory and renown. He reads a poem. This is Heel Lanny Poffo, Savage's brother, which was never mentioned on air. So, Leaping Larry Poffo here, an awesome poem. He was a jobber in the WWF from 1985. We've just never seen him on pay-per-view. So he turned heel 2 weeks before WrestleMania, where he just started giving out about Hulk Hogan and praising Macho Man. So he made it to TV as the genius a month later. And yeah, so this is a shtick. He sticks up for the heels and censures the faces.
I thought this segment was great. I love this guy nearly as much as Honky. I just think that the character is money, and he does it. So I was like, no one else could have done this other than this guy. He's great.
I don't know about that, Steve.
You think so?
Quite a few people could do that gimmick. He's just reading somebody else's poem.
He writes all this shit.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm
prepared. Yeah. He like still goes around schools and colleges and writes poems and reads them out and wears his little thing.
That's pretty cool.
I think he's so fucking cool, this guy. I love him to bits.
Did they ever mention that he was Macho's brother?
Never.
Never, ever, never.
Ever.
Okay.
Which is weird enough.
Like, he's a lot better looking than Macho. Macho Man's an ugly man.
Well,
with a big onion hair like Jushin Liger. He's horrible looking.
I feel he looked a bit simian, alright. Like, he did cover up as much of your face as you can. Wild hair, big glasses, big huge beard. Basically, you'd never see his face. It's time for our main event. Alright, it is Randy Savage, who comes out with Zeus and with Sensational Sherry, versus Brutus Beefcake and his own theme, Hulk Hogan, without Liz. So that's very odd. So here we see Tom Tiny Lister. And just to give you a bit of a background, because we didn't get any voiceover off this. So April 22nd on Superstars, just after Mania, Brutus was on the Brother Love Show, and he was interrupted by Macho and Sherry. Brutus calls her Scary Sherry, which is bang in the 80s. He gets attacked. They make a tag match, and then Macho brings in Zeus. And his gimmick is that he's impervious to pain and he doesn't sell anything. So he's basically Hogan. So the build up to this is that Zeus would come out and they try to punch him and he wouldn't. You know, he'd just laugh it off. And
no, he'd do Cena face.
He'd seen a face. He beat up Hogan and Beefer, wouldn't sell a chair shot, that kind of thing. And it was very effective because, this guy, he's not a wrestler, so this is the best booking you can give him, as well as you're trying to make this guy to be a viable threat to Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. So
this guy was over. They got that job done. The fans were digging, he had pretty good heat, and the fans were pretty much just into everything that he did. So Big thumbs up for booking team on this one.
Big gorilla thumbs up. Macho's theme hits as Fink introduces Liz. And she's looking well.
She doesn't look as good as she has done in the past, but still very good.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think she's lost a bit of glamour.
Yeah,
maybe it's that her dress she's wearing isn't as beautiful.
She's not slutty enough.
But she's never slutty, though.
No, but she was...
That was her gimmick. It's wholesome. The whole charm is that...
Do you mean she's not showing off enough flesh?
Yes, yes.
The whole charm is that you get to make her dirty. You know what I mean?
When? I never got to make her dirty.
No, that's, you know, the whole dream of someone as, you know, as pure as that.
Quantum ring. Everyone.
She comes out to Savage's theme. Why didn't she come out to Hogan's theme?
Why didn't she come out to the WrestleMania theme?
Linda McLinda's theme.
Yeah.
Did you hear Beaver's theme, by the way?
Yeah, I mentioned it last time.
What's it?
Like a jazzed up Owen Hart theme.
That's where you were. Yes. Did you see the little kid in front row dressed up as the Beaver with his shirt? That was hella cute, I have to say. That was awesome.
Cool. Starts off, Macho takes a swipe at Liz. That's pretty cool. Looks like all my points were blown out of the water right there. I gotta give you that one, Steve.
Oh, I thought it was craziness that Zeus starts the bloody match.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about the overly theatrical, I'm going to choke you?
I love it. But like, Kali does it and Andre as well.
Yeah.
It's just pure wrestling. Yeah. I love it.
It worked. Do you see, so Hogan is trying to take Zeus off his feet. So he gives him, I don't know, but the clothesline doesn't work. Then he goes for this dainty kick. See that? He's like, woo!
If only he was wearing a skirt. Did you notice, like, Hogan and Macho were, like, calling the spots to get Zeus through the match? They were always, give me a headlock, the next three spots.
It's very obvious.
Believe it or not, I actually didn't count that. I was probably too busy.
And there was one where Macho says, fuck it, and it's like, oh, point to Hogan, har, 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 har. It's like, just fuck it, this is our tactic.
That's great.
The next spot is the tactic. Macho hits Beaver with the purse and knocks him out. And so, yes, this is a loaded purse. So, make sure...
Was this Sherry's purse, was it? Okay.
Yeah, Hogan breaks up the pin, though. And then Macho goes at a ring and he goes, makes a beeline for Liz, and then gets cut off.
Twice, it was great. It's like, it's terrifying, it's scary, you know?
Yeah.
Was anybody counting bear hugs in this match?
Oh, there was one, like, from...
There was
Zusa
one, was there?
there was just one long bear hug.
35 minute
head. Oh, man.
But, in saying that, they never lost the fucking crowd, though. Because this character was so over that no matter how shit you are in real wrestling, the crowd are going to lap it up, you know?
As you said, this guy was made out to be a legitimate threat.
Mm.
And this guy, I've never
was
seen...
was almost godlike, like, you know what I mean?
It was... what a job.
Is it?
No,
maybe Hogan should have teamed with Kratos, you know?
Team with Hercules.
No, he sucks. He's Mexican.
Hey, Zeus.
Hey, Zeus.
Yeah, it was pretty... Hogan was selling a lot. He was taking a beating near the start of the match. And, I just noticed with this cockfuck Hogan. Man, not to be outdone, he no-sells Savage's elbow.
Big elbow.
Jumps up.
Massive writing there. I was absolutely furious when I saw that.
Where's your fucking shovel?
That's like fucking Legion of Doom shit when they came back to Raw in 2003. Remember that? Kane hit the chokeslam. Rob Van Dam hit the 5-star. Back up. Not a bother. They go backstage and they immediately get fired. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, obviously you're not going to sack Hogan, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, whenever Hercules leaves the company, he just... Oh, it's amazing. He just no-sells everything. Like, the match is a squash.
Really?
But, like, you're punching him. Count the lights right, I'm out of here. It's fucking amazing, the no-sell on this. It's a big Goldberg job.
After Hogan totally no-sold the elbow, Macho Man gets hooked out and Beaver's already taken out. So, for, like, the first time, it's Hogan and Zeus kind of one-on-one. And they're circling around the ring. And the fans are going... absolutely mental for it. This was awesome.
Out of nowhere!
Here comes Zeus. And Zeus is the legal man in the ring. There was a tag made.
This is what we've been waiting for.
It's one-on-one now. The Macho Man is still down. The Barber in the opposite corner. Bumped it. He staggered him. He staggered him. He
can't knock him off his feet, though. He can't knock him down.
But he's wobbly. Clothesline. He's going to go down. He's going to go.
No. Hogan.
Yes.
It was so well done. No, that's probably great.
Yeah, there was some strange woman came knocking. Yeah, she said, have you got enough electricity or something?
I got two buckets.
It's probably like a sneaky TV license or something, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're fuckers for that.
Yeah. Oh, man, I hate Jay. I really fucking hate him. Oh, Jay. What a dickhead.
What a cunt.
Oh, dear. When he comes back, just pretend we're, you know, we like him. Just, you know. Keep up the pretense,
yeah, for the second podcast.
Yeah, here he comes.
Yeah. What's up, G-Man? What's the story, dude?
Sorry, yeah, the crowd were going fucking mental for Zeus and Hogan. Notice Hogan actually, you know, he did like rake the eyes to Zeus, and yeah, that works, you know.
He don't have to rake like his left eye, though, wouldn't he?
So there's a big spot where Liz tips over Sherry into the ring, where you see she's got like lovely garters on, you know.
She's got pretty hot legs, isn't
she? Liz did none of the work in that. That was all Sherry.
But she got a massive pop, though. So,
oh, yeah.
Just, you know, just for being there and stopping Sherry from interfering. The fans were going absolutely mental, and then Hogan finally knocked Zeus down to one leg after about a 15-second funky chicken selling style. Liz, of course, comes in and stops Sherry from interfering, and then the Beefer comes in and does the same with Macho. The fans are all up on their feet, going absolutely mental, and then Hogan smacks Zeus with a purse.
Yeah. Handbags.
All this fucking great build-up, and he beats him with a purse. Yeah.
Shame. What was going on? And then he does a body slam and the leg drop. It's the 1-2-3. And Shavante, along with all the fans, go ballistic.
Have to say, like, you can't really give out, the crowd went mental, and it was just hard not to get wrapped into it, you know? Yeah, it was great. It was the best you could do with a celebrity, like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. One of the better matches with a non-wrestler that I can think of, anyway. Big Show Mayweather was better than this, probably, but it obviously didn't have the fans and all that stuff, but as a match it was better.
Like, the whole ending was just a complete clusterfuck. Everyone got involved, but it was done right.
Yeah.
You know, clusterfucks generally don't work, but this really, really did. Very sceptical about how this match would play out.
I expected this to be god-awful.
Yeah, even at the end of WrestleMania 5 podcast, you said, oh, Zeus is coming up, and you're like,
oh god,
really pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I have no complaints about this match at all.
So after the match, we get an atomic drop to Sherry, and Liz hits her with the purse. While Hogan keeps the heels at bay with his set of clippers, Liz and Beefer cut Sherry's long, long ponytail.
And then Hogan picks up the hair and puts it on his bald spot. Why not? Why not?
Leslie cuts too high off Sherry the first time, so he doesn't actually cut enough hair off him, so he actually just cuts her again, and it's much shorter the second time around.
I would have thought that was a hair extension or something, though. Her last appearance, she had like the little perm.
Did she?
So she couldn't have grown a big ass fucking ponytail since then.
That's very true.
Fucking liar, kayfabing me. Kayfabing me. Didn't actually get your hair cut. You just got yourself mulleted.
At the very end of the show, you know, Hogan does his like three poses, bam, the bam, and the bam. Yep. Beefer fucked it up every time. He didn't know the three poses. And he fucked up like four times in a row or something.
Maybe he should have a super pose down with Hogan. So, yeah, it was amazing. Ventura chastising Hogan for beating up a woman when he atomic dropped Sherry. Awesome. So the faces elaborately celebrate in the ring to Hogan's theme, and we're done.
Yeah,
Yeah, what did you think of pay-per-view as a whole?
As a whole, I thought this pay-per-view was really fucking good. Main event was awesome. We had two really good tag matches. Warrior Rude was much better than I thought it had any right to be. Then of course, we had, you know, like Snuka and DiBiase, which sucked. Dusty match sucked. The Hercules match sucked. So, overall, I'd say that the good definitely outweighed the bad. I really, really liked this show.
I'd concur with pretty much all of what you said. Really enjoyed it. One of the best pay-per-views we've watched since we started. The main event, just brilliant. You know, it just goes to show you don't need to have the best wrestlers in the world to make a great match, which is something I've probably been accused of before, giving out about shit wrestlers, but this is how to make it work.
I'd say that the first half of this pay-per-view was great, and then it fell off a cliff with Garbage and the Twin Towers, and those lads had only kind of picked up. Like, I was motoring through the pay-per-view, then I hit a bit of a wall,
yeah,
you know?
Totally.
There was actually, like, a large segment of promos as well, which made me tired as well. I have to mention, just general standard of wrestling is a lot higher this year than, like, last year's SummerSlam. Because, like, I just had a look at last year's SummerSlam card. Fucking Ken Patera, JYD, the Bolsheviks, Dino Bravo, Don Morocco, honestly. You know, pull your fucking hair out. And, you know, replace them with the Brainbusters, the Rockers, Heart Foundation, Perfect.
You reckon Warrior, you any know? Of that has
Dusty?
Anything to do with the fact that we've kind of gone from the wrestlers from the 70s to the wrestlers that we grew up with, you know, so it's like kind of, you know, it's like going home. That's who we grew up watching, and not Don Morocco and Pantera and whatnot.
I completely agree with you. Now I can get into these pay-per-views a lot more because I know and love these, pretty much everyone on the card.
Mm.
So that's a big help. Mm.
I'd have to think that since, you know, we've been watching wrestling so long that we know enough to look at wrestlers critically. Like, we can see Honky Tonk Man, great character, terrible wrestler. Dusty Rhodes, same thing. Mm-hmm. And I never watched Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard as a kid,
never.
But man, they're fucking awesome on this pay-per-view.
I'm a big fan of Arn Anderson. I think he's tremendous.
Yeah. So, you know, although you know, nostalgia plays a part, which is why we watch it and stuff. The wrestling quality is a lot higher than it was a year ago. And, yeah, out with the 40, 50-year-olds, in with the 30, 40-year-olds.
One thing that did let the pay-per-view down was Tony Schiavone.
I didn't mind him in the show, believe it or not.
I hate Monsoon, but what Monsoon does is he makes Jesse Ventura better.
I totally agree with that. This is the first time I don't have Jesse down for my MVP tonight. Mm. And it's for the reason you just said, Steve. Totally.
It's because Sean
Gorilla makes him 10 times better.
Mm. He can't put up a fight. He's just completely outclassed and just backs down to everything that Ventura says.
But I thought, as a play-by-play commentator, he was much better than Gorilla, though. Just that there wasn't the bond there between the two of them, you know?
Yeah. And even his play-by-play pissed me off, but probably not as much as Gorilla's does, but still.
Oh, he Pearl Harbored him.
But
I
still.
Love that shit. I'm a big sucker for that shit. Yeah. Like, technically, I think Schiavone's better, but he's got no charisma.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. But, yeah, overall, thumbs up.
Awesome!
Our ideal of vision.
Excuse me.
Just survive.
You know, you look like your head fell on the cheese dip back in 1957. You're okay. This one, real fucking ugly. You see, I take these glasses off. She looks like a regular person, doesn't she, huh? Put them back on. Formaldehyde face. That's what we got.
That's enough out of you. You get out or I call the cops.
Call the cops? You know what you need? You need a Brazilian plastic surgeon.
I've got one that can see.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, shit.
sounds good. All right, lads. It was a good show today.
It was an awesome show.
Yeah. The Survivor Series is coming up next, and at the end of the year, we'll do No Holds Barred. So we got the Survivor Series, a traditional Survivor Series, no longer teams of five, strive to survive. We've got five teams of four, strive to survive. So do you want to know the main event? All right, the main event is the Ultimate Warriors, headlined by Hogan, obviously. the Ultimate Warrior, the Rockers, and Jim Neidhart. Where's Brett? He's in a different match. Versus the Heenan family, which is Bobby Heenan, Andre the Giant, your boy Nanking Haku, and Arn Anderson.
No Tully?
Someone failed a wellness test right before the pay-per-view.
They didn't have wellness tests in the Heenan.
Yeah, but it
oh, that wellness. Smellness.
Fucking awesome. Alright, good night, lads. So, from V1,
good night,
and OC.
Yep.
Alright, good night, folks.
That was a good one, lads.
Very good.